5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Well, a big story surfaced over the weekend. A long story, too, by the way. Jaden Watson Fisher of the Greeley Tribune joins us in studio. Jaden put together this story, and I'll read the headline. UNC football players claim program and Ed McCaffrey failed their student athletes. Multiple players allege systemic issues, potential NCAA violations. Jaden, how are you? Have you slept much lately?
I've tried to take a couple of naps the last couple of days, but I'm dreaming about football, so it hasn't been very restful.
How does this process start? I always wonder about this because I'm a radio talk show host. I read your stuff and then I give opinions on it.
I feel like that's cheating.
Maybe it is, but it's damn good radio. I read your stuff. I give opinions on it. I don't get into a lot. You know, sometimes we get tips. I've talked to several players about this. But how does this process start for you?
I think part of it's just doing my job and being at practice. And I was able to go to all the games this season, including the ones on the road. So players and their family saw me there quite regularly. And, you know, even if we didn't talk, they were like, okay, that's who she is. And early in the season, family members started reaching out to me saying, hey, there might be some issues. And of course, it's, you know, Ed's first full season actually being on the sidelines. So I kind of kept, you know, I took everything with a grain of salt, right? It's college football. Some people are going to be upset. You know, some people might not like their new coaches. It happens. But I kept that in my back pocket, and they kept reaching out to me. They kept saying, hey, I don't know about this. Hey, you might want to think about this. And, you know, I heard that there were a lot of players that were going to be in the portal, probably half, three quarters of the season. And I wasn't sure. Again, you never know, right? But guys started announcing that they were entering the portal. I kept my eye on it. And, you know, I decided, hey, let's start looking at other schools. How do they rank in the Big Sky? How do they rank in Colorado? And that's where the first story last week came from, was just it was comparison. But I spoke to loved ones of players, and they're the ones who kind of tipped me off. And I was like, well, we should include this for context, right? Like, this is important. And so I did. And then I published on Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday, another dozen or so announced they were entering the portal. I reached out to a couple players, but a lot of them came to me or were referred to me. And they just started talking. They said, I want to tell my experience. I want to tell my story.
So all players, most of these players that reached out to you had entered the transfer portal at this stage?
Yes, most of them. Not all, but a lot of them.
But the parents came to you first.
Yes.
They started reaching out to you first.
Yes.
And when that first article hit, and we talked to you a little bit last week about it, you know, of course, UNC and Coach McCaffrey came out and kind of made it sound more or less like it was a playing time situation. Well, the parents' side of it, and I don't know that first story really got into the financial aid part of it. No, that one didn't. But this was more or less, no, it wasn't just playing time. It was that players felt, you know, they weren't valued. There was an inner circle and that kind of thing. That was kind of more or less the first story.
Yes, absolutely. They started saying there are issues in terms of relationships and how the coaching staff interacts with players. And that's where we started. And then it just blew up.
Do you think on that side of it, and you said it, it's Coach McCaffrey's first year. You've covered college teams. What are there, 100 players, 100 guys for football? Odds are there's going to be a good number that don't like Ed McCaffrey, that don't like his coaching staff, maybe hate the guy. So, I mean, and that kind of stuff, that can happen. That can be part of it. But as this story continued to grow, we grew into some other big issues here. Obviously, the possible NCAA violations, talking about financial aid. So I want to get into some of that with you, because that's, of course, the biggest. To me, that's the biggest thing of all of this, right? Because the other stuff could be, is that enough to move on from a coach? Maybe, maybe not. I suppose it depends on the athletic administration. But this is the big stuff.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that really is there. So when you're talking to some of these players, you know, you've got, I kind of highlighted one of, you know, you went in and all the players are anonymous. You gave them different nicknames. Here's the one that stood out, of course. Several received a partial scholarship to attend UNC and were told they could receive an increase based on their performance. Mark was one of those student athletes. He was recruited by McCaffrey's staff and awarded a 50% scholarship for his first year, but the amount was increased before his second semester. The increase was supposedly removed before his third semester began. Mark said neither he nor his family was notified. They didn't find out until they received a larger than expected bill from the university. Can you take us into that conversation more? Like, what was that like? You talked to the Mark and the family on both of this, on this side of it, or?
No, I just spoke to him.
Okay.
But he, you know, he was very forthcoming about it. Honestly, I don't remember what I asked him that led into this. I just know that he was talking about I did ask about money and just scholarships and because of the claim that it was about tuition assistance. And so he told me and I was in shock. And, you know, I went into this story, to be honest, I was kind of hoping that they would come across as just being salty, you know, just being like, I hate him. He sucks. But that's not how they came across, you know, in my gut and just from listening to them discuss various issues with me. They seemed very genuine and they had a big picture perspective. They were very nuanced and they acknowledged that not every college football experience is perfect. It's not going to be necessarily what you see in the movies or what you expect from, you know, you look at Alabama or whatever, and you think, oh, I'm going to get all this money. I'm going to get all this playing time, whatever. They understood that's not the norm. And so I didn't get the feeling that they were salty or that they had any reason to lie. You know, there's still a part of me that hopes that maybe it was just a miscommunication, and that's possible.
Well, and listening to, I played that clip for you. Darren Dunn, athletic director, was on our morning show this morning. And again, listening to him, and I'll be the first to admit, I don't know a lot about how all this financial aid really works. And, you know, can you just up and, because almost the way it sounds here is that this Mark player is saying, hey, McCaffrey basically was the judge, jury, and executioner on who would receive this percentage, this amount of scholarship. But then listening to Darren and Ed on today, you know, Darren said, hey, this is a you've got to go through so many different levels of compliance and all that stuff that Ed, even if he wanted to, couldn't necessarily do that.
Yeah, I don't know the behind the scenes process, but the idea that, you know, he said that, you know, coaches aren't the only ones who make these decisions, which I'm sure on face value that is true. They're not the only ones, but I feel like they probably, I mean, you're the coach of the team. You probably have a lot to say. But like I said, I don't, my gut doesn't tell me that these guys are lying to lie. You know, so I don't know what's totally going on.
Do you think now this player, this Mark that you talked to, because, again, you even pointed it out that scholarships can be awarded in one terms or more and not reduced unless the player violates conditions such as committing fraudulent misrepresentation, misconduct, or simply not meeting academic standards, grade point average and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is it fair to ask this question? Could Mark have been in that category at all?
Is it possible? Yes.
So he could have maybe had his grade point average dipped. We had a guy text the show that said he participated in sports in college. And he's like, yeah, once my grade point average went down to 2.0, I knew that I was going to have a reduction on that side of it. So maybe that could very well be the case.
Maybe. Or maybe he, you know, there's also the possibility that happened and he didn't realize it. You know, what your GPA is. You know, I didn't keep track of that really in college. I just hoped I was doing okay.
Right. Well, I didn't my first year, my freshman year, for sure. I didn't even know what school was. But so, I mean, again, it could be that side. Now, Mark player does go on to say, we asked the coaching staff and they said they didn't know anything. We kept asking them what was going on. And they finally told us that they brought it back down and didn't tell us or give us an explanation. Now, what's interesting there is he says they told us they brought it back down. Well, and again, according to what we heard from Darren Dunn, it's not like they, as the coaching staff, could be the ones to actually bring it down. It would have to go through compliance and all that, correct?
I think so. But like I said, the NCAA and everything that goes on is confusing. I consider myself relatively knowledgeable in regulations and how things work. But honestly, that area is a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah, well, and again, I talked about this the other day. There's so much now, especially with the transfer portal, especially with name, image, and likeness, and all this that's going on through this process. Now, I'll say this personally: I've worked with a few college kids with the name, image, and likeness stuff, and they have to sign contracts with us.
Yeah,
they have to sign contracts with whatever the businesses they're working with, and then of course go through the compliance. And I'll just tell you this flat out. Great kids, nothing bad to say about any of them. They'll sign the contract, and like 4 days later, they'll ask, hey, when did we get this again? And, oh, it's all laid out. So, and again, that's where I'm reading this, too. And you do wonder with some of these players, these student-athletes, when they're coming and saying, hey, this was never – I never realized that I was going to lose some scholarship money or whatever if my grade point – and again, I'm not saying that that's what happened with this case, but that could be a possibility.
Yeah, that's absolutely a possibility.
Because it's a big deal. I mean, this is the big one, Jaden, when I look at it. Again, we're talking to Jaden Watson Fisher. You have a different name on your Twitter than you do on your Tribune. So that's why I'm like, all right.
Watson Fisher is my maiden name.
Okay.
I have my married name on Twitter because I'm trying to encourage people to, like, think that as well, but I haven't gotten it legally changed because of COVID.
Okay. Well, all right. That makes
sense.
It's
going to be the other one.
Right.
Eventually.
Okay. That's fine. I just wanted to, I was looking at your Twitter today and I'm like, am I been saying it wrong the whole time? No. Haven't been. Okay. So, but again, this is, and I want to get to the other stuff too. Are you going to stick, can you stick with us for another segment? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going for a moment. But again, this is the, to me, the meat and potatoes of all of it. There's a lot of other stuff that's like he didn't connect well, he had favoritism, all that stuff. But this is the one I believe that if this is true, you got the NCAA going to have to do a deep dive investigation on this. And if if something is found to be true on this, I mean, heads are going to roll.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, I want it to be just a misunderstanding between the two parties because otherwise, you know, some kids' opportunities are in trouble and
right.
The university's in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you get kids, you get current student athletes and coaches and stuff too. Now, this is another one, another anonymous name. Sam was another one. Sam's scholarship was slightly reduced when Ernest Collins Jr. was still coaching. The original amount was supposed to be reinstated the following semester. Then UNC fired Collins. So I noted this part here in your article. And again, it's a very in-depth article, very great, gripping read. You know, I'm going through this thing over the weekend a couple times. When approached about getting the 15% reinstated, according to this Sam player,
yeah,
McCaffrey allegedly wouldn't honor the agreement Collins had made. Sam said he brought information about his performance in spring practices, but McCaffrey asked how many 100-yard games and touchdowns he had. The answer, none. Sam had been a redshirt and experienced injuries early in the case. Now, that's a big no-no if that's the case, right?
Well, in theory, no, because you can earn more money back, right, based on your performance. But, you know, if he had it taken away, it may have been, again, misconduct or grades that initially brought it down. So technically, I think... And again, I'm not sure. The NCAA, I don't know. I think that they can stipulate athletic improvement for an increase.
Okay.
I think that it would be counted as an increase at that point. But I'm not sure.
We have a lot. It's interesting. We have a lot of former student athletes, and they kind of went through some of this stuff. So a couple of texts here. This one is just from a 970 number. Anytime aid is reduced, a student athlete receives a letter from financial aid notifying them of the reduction. Student athletes also can appeal any reduction, cancellation, and aid, according to that texter. Now, that would seem to be kind of syncing up with what Darren had said
right
this morning. So that's why it's so bizarre when Mark's saying, going back to the very beginning, it's like, hey, we didn't receive any of that any of that stuff at all. But Darren's saying, dude, I mean, going through this whole entire process, that's just the way it is. There's no way it can't go through that. We know that that's a big no-no. So that's why, Jaden, and again, you're taking the quotes, you're taking the information people are giving you. That's why I scratched my head a little bit about that response, because it just seems like there's so many layers that McCaffrey would have to go through with compliance, with financial aid, before you could even get to a reduction there. That I don't like. It's not like McCaffrey could just go in and say, hey, by the way, cut that guy's scholarship by 15% or whatever. There's so many things that have to go through that process, and he would be given an opportunity to appeal that process too, which is why, again, I was scratching my head more or less.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they sent it and they didn't get it. It got lost in the mail. I have no idea.
Is your next step going to be, have you reached out to the university?
Yes, I have.
And I
reached out before this published.
So you reached out to the university, and you probably in that process, you're going to probably get the gist of how that financial aid side of it all works, right?
No, they just sent me their statement, even though I had outlined some of the allegations, and I didn't get any additional information from them.
So you were trying to verify some of these claims. You were trying to verify that, hey, this player claims that his scholarship percentage or whatever financial aid was reduced.
Yeah.
Can you verify that?
Yeah.
And then the response wasn't specific to that.
It was just a statement.
Interesting. Yeah. We're talking to Jaden Watson-Fisher, who wrote this story in the Greeley Tribune. UNC football players claim program Ed McCaffrey failed their student athletes. Multiple players allege systemic issues, potential NCAA violations. Tell you what, let's take a quick break. You want a bottle of water or something? I mean, we're putting it through the ringer here. This is 22 minutes after the break. We'll take a short one, and we'll talk to we'll continue this process and this conversation with Jaden on the other side. Stick with us. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Bears basketball on the Voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, and speaking of that, we have put out a request to get Darren Dunn and Ed McCaffrey on the program at some point this week. So we're waiting to kind of get that schedule synced up as well. We're talking to Jaden Watson-Fisher, who put together this story in the Greeley Tribune that has, I think, not just Greeley spinning. I mean, Northern Colorado, the state of Colorado, because we're talking Ed McCaffrey here. This is one of Colorado's guys here. So certainly an interesting story when you wrap this all up. We talked a lot about the financial aid side of it. And again, I think there's some questions there that you're still looking to kind of vet through this as this process goes. Because to me, when I look at it, it just seems like it's so tight to be able to just change scholarships and percentages and stuff at the drop of a hat. But you have other things in here, too. Major communication problems, lack of preparation and investment. So basically, players also reaching out to you saying, hey, okay, you tell me. What are they saying? Give me kind of a summary of what some of these players are basically saying about his communication problems.
They're saying it's virtually impossible to actually talk to him. And if you do talk to him, it's very uncomfortable. He may not return texts or phone calls. And trying to get a meeting isn't easy. And that was a common thing. Nearly, if not all, said that.
That it's just difficult.
It's really difficult.
Could that be common? Now the only reason I bring that up, we had talked to a player, and everyone knows him. He was Ellison Hubbard. He did a show with us here. He had transferred out of Colorado State, and he had mentioned the fact that he didn't talk to his head coach very much. He really dealt with his defensive line coach. Now, he thought that was rare. He was a fifth-year senior, so it was rare for him. But in talking to coaches in the past, yeah, there are guys perhaps that maybe they aren't talking to as much as other guys. So again, not saying it's right or wrong, does seem like maybe sometimes that's part of the sport perhaps?
I think there's a little bit, but at the same time, you know, these guys are also saying that it's not limited to him. It is up and down through the coaching staff, minus a few people here and there.
So when you're wrapping this whole thing up, and I know you came in on your day off, by the way. Thank you so much for doing this. We really do appreciate it, breaking into it. It's a lot of stuff. I've read through it twice, three times now, and I'm still grabbing on to information ultimately through this process here. When you summarize this, and I know you're going to be doing some more work on this, Do you think it's going to get worse before it gets better? Do you think these investigations are going to show us, if there is an investigation, and again, there hasn't been a formal investigation announced. I know UNC said they're going to be looking into it. Mm-hmm. What do you think they're going to find? Do you think they're going to find that these players are accurate and that something did get changed without them knowing it? Or is it going to be a miscommunication? I mean, what does your gut tell you after talking to all of these players, all of these coaches, and covering this story?
My gut says, at least on the financial aid, there is a possibility of a miscommunication, something getting lost in the mail, something getting lost in translation. In terms of, you know, the communication and the preparation side, my gut says that there's something legitimate there. You know, you can ask my friends, ex-boyfriends. My gut is usually right.
Well, what's scary about that, though, and I get where you're coming from on it, but I mean, you're talking about some pretty serious stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, I mean, Ed McCaffrey, coaching career could be done if any of this stuff is true. You know, players that are already committed here are going to be looking for something new aside of this. I mean, there's so many things that have to go into this. That's why I think, you know, for you, especially for all of us, we got to be extremely careful because these players, there could be disgruntled players. There could be players that are upset. There could be players that didn't understand when they signed a certain scholarship that if the grade point average dipped, if they did something here, if they weren't able to do this, that would drop or decrease. For me, it's just crazy because there's so many different things that you have to go through on the financial aid side of it. Now, a lot of this other stuff, if you took the financial aid side out of this and it was just the lack of communication, the buy-in, do you think it's as serious?
I don't. I think it is serious whether it's an immediate firing.
But it could be more of a learning process, correct?
I think that's possible, yes. I think he could stick around for, you know, another year or two and just see UNC feel they can all feel each other out. I don't think it's an immediate problem if the money part is taken away.
It's just one of those things where you look at, and again, the Dylan McCaffrey thing, we knew that was going to be extremely unique, right? A head coach and his son's the quarterback. Oh, and the other son's the offensive coordinator. So you knew that was going to be, at first, a really fun dynamic. But if there are going to be disgruntled players, and again, out of 100, I would be floored if 90% of the players liked the coaches, you know, liked the player. I played high school football. I didn't like my coach. There was 30 of us. But you add in the family dynamic. It didn't seem like the players really had anything against Dylan, but it was more or less how maybe if he had a bad game that he didn't pull him in favor of a different quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Look, the guys seemed very respectful toward their teammates, including Dylan. You know, they didn't want to throw anyone else under the bus because they're all in the same situation, right? They're all student-athletes. But they definitely said the system is the problem.
And again, that's where I could go back and say it's, you know, first year was COVID year. They opted not to play even in the spring.
Right.
So that last year was the first real year. And again, McCaffrey, his background, we knew it was what it was. I said when Darren hired Ed, I said, hey, I don't care if they win another game. That was the move to make. It was a marketing. They were losing anyway, right? You might as well bring in a guy with a big name. So on that side of it, you know, is everybody willing to just kind of grow with this program? And it depends on that athlete, right? If they only have a limited time, they're going to want to go somewhere where maybe there is a full system in place. But a lot of this stuff, and again, not packing in line by line, because we could be here forever.
Yeah, we could be here for another week.
And again, it's not
two.
A knock. You want it to be great. You want it to be a long article on this kind of story. But you know, it's fair to say, you know, on that side of it, it is an experience thing. It is going to be a learning curve and being able to establish, you know, what your philosophy is going to and your culture, what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. But at the same time, something, you know, I've been talking to some other people about is at least, I mean, he played college football. I know that was a long time ago, but his sons have played recently, right? So there's at least some expectation, I think, of, you know, maybe how a little bit more of how this is supposed to work, how this is supposed to go, or at least how maybe he thinks it's supposed to go. I don't know. But a lot of guys were saying he should at least have a little bit more knowledge. And maybe, I mean, for better or worse, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Well, and again, talking to coaches in the past and coaches that have, you know, been relieved of their duties. I've talked to former coaches and stuff, and boy, some of the stories they have to tell me. And I will say this, there's one coach in particular that I talked to that's not coaching. He was a college coach in Colorado that said he was getting texts from parents and calls from parents very upset about the playing time. So again, it is the day and age that we're in. You are getting, and he's like, I'm a freaking D1 coach, and I'm getting parents calling me about playing time. So it is a very bizarre story. So, Jaden, I know you got to go. What's next? What's the next process for you? I know these articles, they're never a one and done. So what's the next step for you?
First, a nap and another full meal and not Reese's Cups. But I think just following up, seeing if anyone else will talk, seeing if I can get the university to really sit down with me or, you know, give me a full document of hey, this is what we looked into. Here's how we do things. And something other than a paragraph or two.
I think whenever these things happen, you know, the more conversations with media, with you know, donors, people involved in the community, the better. So hopefully for that sake, all of us get more and more more clarity, too, at this stage. Because, again, you have players coming out. You have parents coming out. Now let's start, you know, seeing what UNC has to say about all of this stuff. But again, it's the financial aid side is a very, very interesting discussion to have. And I don't think a lot of readers and listeners out there, including myself, know a lot about what goes into it. So it is a tricky field to navigate through. So I'll be curious to see what's next from you.
All right. I'm curious, too.
All right. Well, great work. Appreciate you jumping on the program. Like I said, it was great to get you in studio. We had you on last week. It was crazy connection. I think you were in a cave or something.
I was on my couch, supposedly.
Well, it was good to get you on the program. We do appreciate you coming in. We'll be looking out for what's next from the Greeley Tribune. We've worked with the Tribune, back and forth, talking to your writers and everything. So I'm sure this isn't the last time our paths will cross.
Probably not.
All right, Jaden. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
All right, 37 minutes after the hour, we have a basketball game to talk about. We got the border war going on in Wyoming. We got CSU and Wyoming going at it. Winner will jump into second place in the conference, at least for the time being. We're going to talk to Steve Ivey of Ram Nation. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.